of whether the Ravan would apply to hair like nails. Now remember, the Bach doesn't actually quote the Ravan, though he seems to, he quotes a Yesh Omrim that seems to be similar to the idea of the Ravan. And to recall, the Ravan, as quoted by the Shach, seems to say that we apply the principle of Kol HaOmed L'Katzitz K'Katzitz Dami over here. And that would mean that if your nails are Omed L'Katzitz, so it is as though they're already katzutz, in which case, even if there's no dirt under your fingernails, the nails themselves could be a chatitza, in the sense that we imagine if they're off and glued back on, in which case they're preventing bias mayim at the point of chibur. That was the tremendous chiddush of the Ravan. Now, it does seem like he is a das yachid in the Rishonim, but the Shach thinks we should at least be l'chatchila choshesh for this, and maybe somewhat b'diavad. And l'maisa, the Ramah himself says as well that if possible, she should be tovelis again if she forgot to cut her nails. And the Shach at least understood that's due to this line of thinking. So the question is, what about if, let's say, hair is omedes likatzeitz? Let's imagine she really wants a haircut. She needs a haircut. You know, people say that all the time. Oh, I need a haircut, right? Let's even, given a more extreme case, she was planning on getting her haircut this morning. She had an appointment at the beauty salon, but she got stuck in traffic and she missed it. And okay, so now she's going to go tomorrow morning. So maybe we should say about the hair, it's omed likatzeitz, and therefore it should be a chatzitza. So the Bach seems to distinguish. The Bach writes that even though we're machmir by nails, ha'omed ligzos, we're not machmir by hair. Why? Dafka by nails, that everybody cuts them, is a chatzitza if she doesn't cut them. But hair, shirov nashim ein darkan legozizan, lo havi chatzitza, afal pi, she'etel ishazu, omedes hein legziza. So what does that mean? Sounds like he's saying women generally have long hair. So we don't say it's necessarily omed likatzeitz. What I assume he means is the following, that in those days, at the very least, women would have, like men, have short nails. And there's such a thing as long nails, nails that everybody sees as just being too long, omed likatzeitz. Mashenken, women have long hair. So, like it's my daughters, you know, they sometimes get a haircut. So they got a haircut. They say, how do you like my haircut? So they didn't take anything off, Brad. I didn't notice anything. That's not the right answer, by the way. Right? So, and what do you mean? What do you mean? They took off 3 inches. So 3 inches of my hair, if you took it off, it would make a big difference, right? But when you have long hair, and it's normal to have long hair, so you can't really say, oh, I really need a haircut. Who's to say this is too long? Okay. It's 12 inches. I like my hair 10 inches. But the lady next door has hair that's 14 inches. So, therefore, the svara, he says, wouldn't apply to hair. Now, this could be interesting, actually, in terms of applying it bizman hazeh. You might even come to sort of the opposite conclusion. Because, on the one hand, when it comes to nails, this might not be true anymore. Very normal for women to have long nails. Right, maybe there's no such thing as long, these nails are so long for women, because lots of women have very long nails. Whereas, when it comes to certain types of hair, let's say hair on the legs, or sarbeis hashachi, or the like, where many women are accustomed to shaving it, maybe even if it's omed likatzeitz, then that would be equivalent to the Bach's version of nails, right? The svara of the Bach would still apply to head hair for women, but maybe the chumrah doesn't apply to nails, and the chumrah maybe would apply to other parts of hair. Now, the Bari Shulchan in the Biurim, it's on page Mem Aleph, says he doesn't understand what the Bach is saying, because the Bach paskins, as we do, that we're choshesh for a chatzitza if you're makbid, even if most people aren't makbid, right? For the sheet of the Rambam, So if she decides that her hair is too long, she is makpedes. So it's true that there are plenty of women that have even longer hair, right? But Lamaisa, like in our example, she decided my hair is too long. She decided I'm makpid about this. She even went, like I said, she was planning to go to the beauty parlor today to get it trimmed. It just didn't work out. So what difference does it make if for lots of other women this wouldn't be too hard, Lamaisa? For her, it's too long. So that's his question on the Bach. Now, it would seem that maybe the Bach holds that we only say kol ha'omed likatzeitz kikatzeitz dami for something objective and not for something subjective. So if this is, everybody sees this as omed likatzeitz, so then we're going to say it's kikatzeitz dami and could possibly serve as a chatzitza. There might even be a basis for this from the Gemara Nazir Daf Nun Aleph, where the Gemara talks about tzipor and homed ligazes, is it kigazes dami and sar and the like. The sugya over there, it's not directly our topic. It's not talking about chatzitzos in the mikvah. It's talking about someone who's died. Is there sar ra'uy ligazes in terms of being tame or not? But if you look over there at the Rush and some of the other mefarshim, they write that it's not totally on individual preference, but your decision that you need a haircut, but rather more objective perspectives. Is this se'ar ro'i l'kach, or are these nails ro'i l'kach? So it could be that the Bach, though, for an actual normal chatzitza, we would say if you're makbid, even if rov b'nei adam aren't makbidim, that would be chotzeitz. But for this type of omed likatzeitz type svara, we wouldn't say that. This might also relate back to the point that we discussed last time, the Chamudei Daniel, who distinguishes between nails on the hands versus nails on the feet. Lamaisa, what would we say about things like hair? So hair already on the head, the Bach is Mako. What about hair on the legs, like we were saying, Beis HaShachi? So the Badi HaShulchan Simen Kuf Mem Ches writes, L'chatchila, it is best that she do this before Tevila. Al-Hatzad, that maybe it's Nechshav Kekatzitz Dami. You might not want to do it on the actual day of Tevila, because that could create other types of chatzitzos. But it is best that she not be in a state where, let's say, her hair on her legs are in a state where most people would see this as ra'ui ligazes. But the Eved, he's Mako, as we discussed last time. Right. Now, the added svar, we should say, is, as we talked about last time, is the pshat in this chumrah that it's because it's omed ligazes, let's say for the nails, because of the minhag of cutting nails before going to the mikvah. In other words, since there's a mikvah, a minhag to cut nails before going to the mikvah, so memela, your nails become omed ligazes, in which case, if you're not cutting them, then they're chotzeitz. Or no, the way the Bach presents it is because these are more fundamentally omed ligazes, and that is the basis of this chumrah. And just to add, all right, yeah.
I mean, didn't you point out earlier that it's not possible to assume that a halachic hakpada would play here?
Yeah, that's part of our question. Yeah, this relates actually, the point you just brought up relates to the issue discussed in the Pesachei Tshuva from the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer was asked the following question. In Hungary, the minhag of many women was to shave their hair after they got married. Even though in Hungary everybody knows they never did anything new, everything they did was always done all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu, and we saw in the Rishonim, it seems like women had hair, not Rishonim, Gemara, right? Ezra was Misakin Chafifa, so I'm not sure the pshat. But anyway, the women used to shave their hair. Now, they wouldn't shave their hair before their wedding. When would they shave their hair? after Bias Mitzvah. So maybe they shouldn't be able to be Tovlos before their wedding because it's Seir HaOmed Ligazes. So the Chassam Sofer addresses this question and he answers no, because since it's not Omed Ligazes till after Bias Mitzvah, and you haven't had Bias Mitzvah yet, so therefore it's not yet Omed Ligazes. And especially here where we have like a defined event before it will be ra'ui to cut. In other words, here it's much more clear cut, right? Is her hair Omed Ligazes now? No. Is it too long? No. Right? The opposite. She wants it here. Until Bias Mitzvah, she dafka wants her hair. Rav Moshe adds to that. Rav Moshe also has a tshuva about this. Chelek Beisim and Pei. He gives even more reason to be lenient and the like. Okay. Robbie.
Yeah, I was wondering why the Rav Moshe with Kasha is even good. The svara is not a svara to me why it's a chatzitza. The svara is why it's not a part of her and therefore now becomes a chatzitza.
Correct.
It's much more objective to be able to
yeah, that's more or less what we're saying.
Right, just that I don't like my finger, it doesn't become not a part of me. Everybody
well, it's a little different. You know, what the Badi Shulchan is saying is that anything that's omed ligazes is kegazos, and just like for chatzitzos, and therefore would be a chatzitz, and therefore since for you...
He establishes omed ligazes first, though.
Yeah, and it is for you. But you're correct. That's exactly what we've answered. In other words, you can't equate those 2 points. Good? We're in full agreement. Okay. As I said, if you look at your Marmakomos, I don't remember if I included it or not, but there's much more on the issue of Nisayaya and the like, and the Rambam, and the various Rivids, and the Rivans, and all that fun stuff. But I think we will we'll have to skip all that, because we're actually pretty behind. Which reminds me, in terms of being behind, is that everybody should get ahead of me because of the fact that if you want time to chazer before the bechina, you'll be much better off if you're ahead of me. In terms of manicures and the like, so again, we mentioned, I don't think we're going to go back into the teshuva from the Achiezer, but just to go back to his conclusion basically is that Mikra Din, let's say she has long hair, nails, we're going to be makel. Even the, certainly, you know, if they're clean, so the Taz would be okay with that. And even the Shach would be okay with that because they're not considered Omed Ligazes because Adarabba, she likes her long nails. She's not planning to get, you know, she just went to the manicurist and had them beautifully trimmed, right? She's not planning to get them touched for weeks. So, Mikra Din, it should really be okay. What's the problem? The problem is that there is a minhag, paskind in Shulchan Aruch, that we've already seen for many, many Rishonim, to cut your nails. And it's totally inappropriate to go against that minhag. And therefore, women definitely should cut their nails. The question is, what do you do in a situation where she refuses? Do we say, so don't go to the mikvah? We have a minhag. The Shulchan Aruch says you have to cut your nails, and we're not going to let you into the mikvah if you don't. Halitei l'rasha v'yamos? Or not? So this is a very important global question. We talked about this at the beginning of the year where we talked about Tvila for Pnuyos. The Shuvas Meshev Davar quoted by the Achiezer discusses a question of whether or not we will allow a woman to go to the mikvah with a chatzitza midirabanan. Do we say, well, better to at least have a tefillah de oraisa than no tefillah at all? The Nitziv is machmir about that. But maybe this case is different. It's not actually a formal issa de rabbanan, it's a minhag. And especially since the concerns for the minhag have been largely alleviated, because we've absolutely made sure her nails are absolutely clean, and it's not omeid ligazes and the like, so maybe we'll be makel. So he's no telahakel, but he's not definitively makel. His conclusion is, kol ze kasavti mashi yish l'tzadid b'zeh, ulam ba'asher lo matzasi heter mefurish b'divir rabuseinu achronim, v'gam roi locha shelo lifa chorva mizeh. Right? We don't, for example, want this whole minhag to be undone. You have a situation where, a couple of women are going to the mikveh with long nails. Most women, until this point, weren't. They followed the minhag of Klal Yisrael, quoted by the Shulchan Aruch. And now that they're going, everybody wants to have a manicure. And that, too, has to be taken in consideration, Reb Chaim Moser writes. Ve'alkein ein lohoros hater mefurish. Rak letzavos beveis hatvila, libli limchos behanashim ha'elu, she'enan nisratzos lahatzir hatziporna'im hasuyos b'manikur. In other words, we can't say they're allowed to be tovos. According to Shulchan Aruch, they're not allowed to. At the same time, we're not going to deny them access to the mikvah, because that too would be disastrous. So we are not mocha, we let them go to the mikvah, but we're not mora heter. Rev Willig, I think, writes, that's why when women go to the mikvah under such circumstances, the tevila woman should not say afterwards muteres or tahora, the like is usually said. Usually after a woman immerses in the mikvah, the mikvah lady says something like tahora or something like that. In this case, she shouldn't say that, because they shouldn't be going to the mikvah. We're going to let them go to the mikvah. Of course, we would prefer them to go to the mikvah with long nails than not to go to the mikvah at all. But at the same time, it's not right what they're doing, because they're going against the Shulchan Aruch and the like. And that's different, Reb Chaim Moser claims, from the case where there's an actual chatzitza midrabanan, where it sounds like he accepts the psak of the Netziv, and perhaps we would not let her go to the mikvah. That too is a bit complex. Yes?
Is there any situation that, a woman has OCD, so she's very nervous about hafpavos, and she's are we kosher for the Rambam, for the Netziv is kosher for the Rambam also? Let's say she's very makbid on stuff.
Nah, that's not
the world. The world is not makbid.
She's not really makbid. She's OCD. It's different than being makbid. When you're dealing with women with OCD in a mikvah, you have to have a lot of pichus. And usually what you need to do is give them firm rules and tell them you can't ask after. Now is not the time to figure out how to do it. But, yeah, you have rules. You have to help them not be too nervous about it and the like. But again, that the way you answer a question to someone who's struggling with something like that is very different than you might answer a question under normal circumstances because of the difficulties. Okay, so let's turn to Sif Chaf Aleph. The Mishnah in Mikvos Perek Tes writes, Elu Shein and Chotetzin, and one of them is the Tziporin Hamidul Dalas. So Tziporin Hamidul Dal is not Chotetz. The Tosefta says, Ha'ever v'abas Hamidul Dalin v'adam harei elu Chotetzin. Reb Yonasan ben Yosef Omer, Tziporin Shapir Sheruba harei zu eina Chotetzes. So a Tziporin, so Ever and Basar and Meduldal are chotzeitz, and Rabbi Yochanan says Tziporin Shapir Shuruba is not chotzeitz. Now, like many of the things you'll see in the Siman, there's a debate among the Rishonim as to whether or not you paskin the Tosefta or not. Do we see the Tosefta as arguing with the Mishnah? Do we see it as consistent with the Mishnah? Here we have the additional question of, even if we accept the Tosefta, is there machlokas? And if there's machlokas, who do we follow like? And the like. But Lamaisa, the Rush quotes the Tosefta, he paskins like the Tosefta, The Rambam in Perek Beis, Halacha Yudalid, writes, by Elo Shein Chotetzin, he writes, Siporna Medul Deles, like the Lashon of the Mishnah, and omits the distinction of the Tosefta. The Beis Yosef discusses the matter, and the primary discussion of the Beis Yosef is a very important question, which is, why is it that Eiver and Basar HaMidul Dalim are Chotetz? Right? Why is it that they're Chotetz? Now, what are the Tzadim? So on the one hand, once they're Midul Dal, they're no longer Yonek Min HaGuf, and maybe you'll argue that since they're not Yonek, they're not Chashiv part of the Guf. And the Beis Yosef adds, Dehali Katan Omdin. So let's try to understand this. So if you were to hold of the svara of Kol HaOmed LiKatzitz KeKatzitz Dami, so then I would say this should be true, you know, like the Ravan, even if they're not Meduldo, like the Ravan, right? The Ravan says if your nails are Omed LiKatzitz, they're KeKatzitz Dami and they're Chotzitz, even if they're not Meduldo. So if the Beis Yosef is saying that the svara of the Tosefta, that Eiver and Basar Medul Dalin are Chotzeitz because his Lashon is Dehali Kata Omdim, so then it should be true even if they are Yonek, like the case of the nail. But obviously the Beis Yosef does not consider that possibility. The Beis Yosef did not mention the Ravan or that Svara at all. So the Beis Yosef says no, that Svara of Omed Li Kata is only relevant when it's not Yonek. But as long as it's still Yonek, as long as it's still part of the guf, the fact that it's Omed Likata is totally relevant. I'll call upon him according to this approach of the Beis Yosef. So then it turns out that we have this remarkable chiddush, which is, again, what the Ravan took for granted. He's not going as far as the Ravan, but we still have to acknowledge this is a remarkable chiddush, which is that something that was never Megula, right? It was never exposed, this part of the body, it's still shayach echatzitza, right? Shayach echatzitza bedavar mechubar, because it's kiktuiv. That's the first approach of the Beis Yosef. And he brings both a raya to this, and also a kasha on this, from the Mishnah in Mikvos Perk Yud. There the Gemara, the Mishnah says, called Yadus HaKelim, Shem Arukim, V'asid Lakutz, Mat Bilad Makom Amida, Mishum de kol ha'omed lichatech kechatoch dami. Now, on the one hand, we see a raya to this idea. We say this principle of that Mishnah seems to be predicated on the principle of kol ha'omed lichatech kechatoch dami. So, just like by that Mishnah for the pot handles, we say kechatoch dami. So too, we'll say that for the Eiver HaMeduldo. So that's a raya from there. But on the other hand, there's a kasha from there. Why? Because over there we don't say tzachatzitza. Right, over there, let's assume for the moment we have a pot with a long handle, regular handle, look at this, and you're going to cut it off halfway through, right? We say it's not a chatzitza. And according to this, if we're going to equate that to the Eiver HaMeduldo, so then it should be an invalid tefillah, because since it's Omed Lichatech, you're going to cut off half the pot handle, so Memela, at the place of Chibor, there is a chatzitza. So the Rash already asks that question, and he gives an answer. He says that we're not makbid for Beis HaStarim in terms of Kalim and Chatzitza. Very simple answer. For people, we have a principle that you can't have Chatzitzos on Beis HaStarim. We're going to discuss that shortly in more detail. Whereas for Kalim, that rule doesn't apply. So Memela, when it comes to the pot handle, it's kikotzitz dami, and the fact that the end of the pot handle doesn't even go into the mikvah is not a problem. Masha Einkein, what about the place of chibor? No problem. That's Beis HaStarim. No chatzitzos in Beis HaStarim. Aye, but for a person with this Eiver HaMeduldo, so since it's kikotzitz dami, so that would create a Beis HaStarim b'makom hachibor. And since for humans you can't have chatzitzos b'beis hasdarim, that's a problem. That's the Beis Yosef's answer over here, b'shem harash. If you look at the Beis Yosef in Simon Reish Beis, he brings another answer. And he says, we're talking about, other Rishonim answer, we're talking about a pot handle that's made out of tabos. Imagine like a chain of metal rings. So in that case, it's very simple. Right? You have five rings on this pot handle. And you're going to cut off the last three. So if those last three don't go into the mikvah, no problem. Why? Because they're kikotzet stami. What about the chatzitza? No, there's no chatzitza between rings two and three because they're rings. Water can get all around it. If you hold that answer, so then we're not fundamentally distinguishing between people and kelim. Lamaisa, the Beis Yosef accepts, as we see over here, the first answer, the answer of the Rash. Now, then the Beis Yosef notes that this will explain the Tosefta, but it will not explain the Tur. Why? Because the Tur, who's obviously coming from the Tosefta, writes the following. Tziporen shepirsha mi'uta chotzetzes, aval lo bepirsha ruba. Now here I don't understand. Because why is pirsha ruba not a chatzitza? Why is that different from anything else? Let's say pirsha ruba. So it's true. It's only a very small area that the chatzitza would be possible, right? Her whole nail is a half an inch, and it's 80% severed. So there's only 1/10 of an inch that there's a chatzitza. But lamaisa, chatzitza, on 1/10 of an inch, it should be a problem. So why in the world does the Tur say this isn't a problem? And the Beis Yosef basically gives two answers to explain the Tur. In his first answer, he fundamentally accepts the above analysis, meaning to say the notion that something that's omed likatzeitz can actually create a chatzitza. And the pshat is like this. Since over here it was partially severed and it's not yonek, it's kikatzetz dami, and it's chotzeitz makom chiburo. But if it's piresh rubo, so when you have a nail that's 90% off, right? It's very easy to just rip off the rest. The fact that you didn't rip off the rest shows what? Obviously, I'm not makbid. If I'm not makbid, then it's miyot ve'eno makbid, and it's not a chatzisa. That's the first approach. So if you have a nail that's 30% severed, maybe you are makbid. Why didn't you cut it off yet? You didn't have a chance to find the nail clippers. So memeila kol omed li katzitz kekatzitz tami, and it's chotzitz. V'makom chibur. If it's piresh rubo, then obviously you're not makbid, it's not chotzitz. That's the first approach of the Beis Yosef. In the second answer, the second approach of the Beis Yosef, he rejects the entire above analysis. Really, something attached can never be chotzeitz. Like the Mishnah and Megvos. The whole discussion is under what circumstances a chatzitza on the object is chotzeitz. In other words, when we talk about in a Tosefta, Eiver Ubasar Medul Dalim Chotzitzin, that's when you have an Eiver Meduldal, and then there's a piece of gum on that Eiver Meduldal, right? If the Eiver Meduldal is clean, there's nothing to talk about. And likewise, when it comes to the nail, if you have a nail that is Piresh Miktsasa, so since it's Mechubr Laguf, even though it's Meduldal, it's Keguf Dami. Why? Because it's only Piresh Miktsasa. Ah, so since it's only Piresh Miktsasa, so Mimela, it's still considered part of the body. If it's still considered part of the body, a chatzitza on that nail is a problem. But Piresh Rubo, then it's Kilo it's Eino Mechubar, it's not part of the body. And therefore, if you have a chatzitza on that little piece of nail that was piresh rubo, it's okay. Now, there's a Tur is actually a big kula, right? The Tur is saying a remarkable halacha. Obviously, if you have Eiver Meduldal and Tziporin Meduldal, that's clean, nothing to talk about. But even if you haven't Tziporin Meduldal, if it's piresh rubo, then it's okay, if there's dirt on it. And the Beis Yosef writes, right, that this is the Iker answer. Not only does he write that, but in the Magid Meisharim, the Magid told him that this answer, the second answer, the very lenient answer, is the Iker, but don't erase the first answer. Okay? As I zak the Magid, fine. So that's what he did. He didn't erase the first answer. However, if you look at the Darkei Moshe, the Darkei Moshe writes that the second answer is dachuk in the Lashon. Right? It is a very creative read. It is creative read because the Torah doesn't say anything about a chatzitza on the nail. Sounds like he's talking about the nail. The Taz in Sifkat and Chav Beis objects to the second answer as well. He says, I don't understand. Why will there not be a chatzitza even if it's Piresh Rubo? In other words, you can't have it both ways and say that it's as though it's detached and therefore dirt on it isn't chotetz, but at the same time treat it as attached such that there's no chatzitza in the makom chibor, right? What's the Beis Yosef saying in the second answer? We're going to have it both ways. We're going to have our cake and eat it. It is both detached with respect to chatzitzos on it and attached with respect to the chatzitza b'makom chibor. The Taz says, doesn't make sense. Now, the Beis Yosef said, that's not true. They're two totally separate issues. You can't have a chatzitza b'makom chibor because it's attached. It's part of my body. But that's one objection that the Taz says. Objection number two. Ma'ishna me'ever medulda, the omei lichatech, davi chatzitza filo, b'nefarish rubo. In other words, why is it by Aver we say that a chatzitza that's found on the Aver that is mostly severed will be a chatzitza? Why would we distinguish between Aver and nails? Now, the Bach already answered that question, as the Taz notes. He said that depends if you need an Oman L'chatcho or not, right? Even if I have an Aver that is 70% severed, I'm not just going to pluck it off. I'm going to go to a surgeon. If I have a nail that's 70% severed, so I'm just going to pluck it off. But the Taz didn't like that. Lo yadati chiluko to sof sof omed lichatechu. So what's the pshat? So the Taz writes, and we're going to go and reject the first approach of the Beis Yosef, except fundamentally the second approach of the Beis Yosef, that when you have something attached to your body, it's not shayach chatzitza. Ah, so why is rubo and miut different? Very simple. When your nail is 80% detached, so the part that's severed will be able to have water go on it. But when your nail is mostly still attached, then water will not go b'makom ha-sedek, and we need roi l'bias mayim, right? In other words, let's take a look at a picture. No, probably be basic stuff. We need roi l'bias mayim, right? If here's my nail, and if it's mostly detached, so you'll get water in here. But if it's just a little detached, so this crack is going to be very thin, very tight. And in this little space, water, it won't be ratwi levias mayim. That is the Taz's theory. Now the Chachmas Adam suggests that if this is true, then it's not just enough to be rogue detached, 51%. It would have to be almost entirely detached. He says, rogue ruba. And the truth is, it's not really going to depend on percentages. You have to look at it. You know, it's going to depend on how much nail we're dealing with, how thick the nail is, how thick are the nails. But the point is that this approach is basically, and it's not surprising that the Taz says this, because remember back, he totally rejected the Bach by nails. There's no such thing as chatzitzos b'makom chibor if anything's attached. We don't accept this whole idea of omeid likatzitz kekatzitz dami and the like. right? So that is, so far, right, we have three approaches, right? Again, Beis Yossi is number one. There is a chatzitza at the place of contact on something that's omed likatzeitz. Approach two rejects that. The concern is dirt on the nails. And approach three of the Taz is actually our whole concern is in the whether the nail will be exposed to water or exposable to water in the place where it's cut already. The Shach likes the first approach of the Beis Yosef. Now that's not surprising because he liked the Ravan, right? He held that a nail that's not even separated at all, if it's omed likatzeitz, could be a chatzitza. So kal vachomer if it's already partially separated. Now this shaila comes up with, as we mentioned, when you have tefillos in Shabbos, and even more commonly, tefillos on Yontif. Right? Let me give you an example. That is not an uncommon shaila. A woman is going to the mikvah, so if it's just during the week and you see a little piece of nail that's partially severed, so great, just take it off. No big deal. And Shabbos, you have a problem. Like we mentioned before, we talked about asking a guy to do it, the machlokas, taz and shach last time, whether you say misayeya and the like. But oftentimes on Shabbos, it's still not so likely. Because Lamaisa, when did she cut her nails? Half hour ago? Right? When does this more likely to be a problem, in my experience? Let's say it's going to be doing tefillah 1 or 2 days from the time that she actually cut her nails. So now it's very likely that there's going to be some type of hanging nail or the like, a little shtickle sticking out. So what's the halacha? So what would we say? So let's say it's Piresh Ruvo, which is, I think, the most common situation. So the Tosefta said that's okay, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, Kol Shekein according to the Rambam. But according to the second teretz of the Beis Yosef, then surely there's nothing to talk about, because we'll definitely make sure that the nail is clean. According to the first pshat in the Beis Yosef, though, it might be a problem. Why? Because she's makpedes. And you could argue it's a problem even if it's Piresh Rubo, it would be a problem. Aye. But one second, doesn't the Tosefta say Piresh Rubo is okay? But how did the Beis Yosef explain that? That was because of what? She's not makbid. Why? Because if she was makbid, she would rip it off. Why is she not ripping it off over here? It's Yantif! She's not allowed to rip it off. So even Rubo would be makbid. In other words, according to the first approach of Beis Yosef, when you're dealing with Shabbos and Yantif, then even Rove could be a problem. So you're going to be stuck. She wants this off. Why isn't she taking it off? Halacha. She's makpedes.
Or
she is. She, if it was during the week, she would rip this off right away. It's driving her crazy that she has this shtickle nail sticking out. Right? But she is Yerushalayim, and she's disciplined, and she's not going to rip it out. But it's driving
her.
Why
would that at least make it a suffix? I mean, how can that be machriya that she's makbid?
We know she is. We ask her, "Are you makbid?" She says, "Absolutely. I would take this the second yantif is over, Baruch Hamavdio, and I'm going to rip off this nail that's driving me nuts." Right? So, Lamaisa, it would be a chatzitz according to the first approach of the Beis Yosef. It wouldn't be a chatzitz according to the second approach of the Beis Yosef. According to the Taz, it's going to depend, but if it's Piresh Rubo or Rov Rubo, you'll be okay. According to the Shach, it would be a chatzitza. According to Rama, Tzarech Iyun, right? On the one hand, we did see in the previous Sif that the Rama writes, you have to cut your nails beforehand. Ad kedei kach, if you didn't, you have to be tovel sheinis. But at the same time, if it's EF Charlotte Litvol Shainis, the Rama said, you don't have to go back. And maybe here we'll say it's impossible. And maybe here we'll say, Lo Nagu Kiagafna. They only Nagu, Bimakum Shafshar. Lo Nagu, Bimakum Shalo Afshar. Not clear. Hard to know what the Rama would say. So what do we have? We probably have the second answer. We probably have the Taz. We probably have the second answer, the Beis Yosef. Not clear, the Rama. Certainly a problem according to the Shach. Well, maybe So we'll be making, like we said last time, if there's a guy, to ask the guy to do it. Not always shayach, right? A lot of times, I said last time, some mikvahs are very fortunate and they have guyim on staff for these scenarios, but many, many mikvahs don't. Small town mikvahs, there's just one lady going to the mikvah, second day yantif, right? And it's pretty embarrassing to, like, you know, walk to the bus stop and go to a lady and say, I'm sorry, you know, excuse me, madam, could you please rip off my nail? Okay? So maybe you'll be allowed to rip it off yourself. Now, what's the halacha? That's all the Shabbos question. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Simen Pei, Sifnan Hei, is actually Mekel. He writes over there that Tziporin Shenefrash Rubo, Vekarov Lihinatek, Umitzaro, Motor Lasiro Biad, Avalobakli, Vimlu Piresh Rubo, Asir Lasiro Afil Biad. Ah, so according to Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, according to this case, where it's in this situation, where it's Piresh Rubo, you can rip it off yourself, Biadayim. Now the problem is that this is against the Gemara. The Gemara says, under these circumstances, where a nail is partially, mostly removed, and it's Saro, so you can rip it off under one circumstance, if it's going up, down, and not if it's going down, up. And the problem is, we don't know what up, down, up means, which is why we're machmir not to do it. Now, apparently, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch thought, look, we could be makel over here. Why? We're dealing here with an Isser Derabbanan, probably. We're dealing here with an Isser Derabbanan. So it's probably a Shvus to Shvus B'mako Mitzvah. Right? You're doing with a Shinoi. In other words, you're not using a nail clippers, you're ripping it off. And removing nail B'chiyah Gavna Z'enes V'chal Gufa Shvus to Shvus B'mako Mitzvah. There's room to be makel. The Mishnah Berurah, though, Simen Shin Chav Ches Sif Katan Tzadi Tes is Machmir. First of all, we noted it's not 100% clear whether it's a shvus or not. The Ramban might say it's tzricha l'gufa. Though the Mishnah Berurah doesn't quote that Ramban. He thinks that if you're doing it not for beauty but to facilitate tefillah, it is a dirabanan. But remember, there's a whole discussion of whether you say shvus to shvus when one of them is in tamiyol nachri and when one of them is in tzricha l'gufa, it's even more chamor. So that being the case, he's machmir. So maybe we'll say then, if we follow the Mishnah Berurah's Pesach in terms of Hilchos Shabbos, that if there's no guy, since Medina de Gemara b'Pashtus you could be Mekel, then we'll allow her to go to the mikvah. We'll allow her to go to the mikvah if you can't get a guy to do it, like the Taz says, against the Shach. How do we paskin? So the poskim disagree, but the Chachmas Adam and other poskim seem to be willing to be Mekel. Chotashani is also machria, like the Chachmas Adam Lahakel, at least Kshikart Tavla, and Rabbi Willig's also, he's Mekel B'Shas Adchak in these cases. Another similar type of Shaila that comes up also in Second Day Yantif. Yeah, in the Shas Adchak, to tell her to wait till after Yantif to go to the mikvah, is a Shas Adchak. And
you could have a
usually not. No. Nah, I don't think so. I mean, it could. I think typically when you rip a nail's mostly off and you rip it off, you sever the rest. Anyway, the another very similar type of question comes up, again, usually in the second, you know, when it's a day or two from the chafifa, is peeling skin, like on the lips, right? What about that? That's the same type of question, right? Do we treat it as omed lichatech? Let's assume for a moment that you would, during the week, you would, you know, definitely rip off this little piece of peeling lip skin if you could. Again, it's driving you nuts, right? It's one of the things that people have the hardest time on Shabbos, not picking off dry skin from their lips. And here, there's no basis in the Gemara for leniency. It's more chamor than the case of the nail, so we couldn't have a Jew do it. Chachmas Adam writes in Klal Kuf Yotes V'nira Li, De'im klipos or habasar tluyim enam chotetzim, de'dinam ketziporen. right? So if you have peeling skip from the lip, or let's say a sunburn or the like, it's not a chotzitza. Shriyamayim yachal avosham, the water could get there, right? In this case, skin isn't so hard, so we don't have the chshash of the taz, where we're concerned that the water can't get the makum sedek, because it's very floppy. Skin is not hard like nails. And he says, that's not so pashut, like we're saying. So that's probably true maybe for peeling skin on your body. Like, let's say somebody got a sunburn, then it's true. People don't peel that stuff off. But on your lips, when you have a shtickle sticking out, it could be that people are makbid l'chatchan. But you still have this first svara, namely to rely on the taz. As we noted before, at least for nails, the biur halacha is make a like the shach to allow a guy to do it. Not clear if he'd be mako by fingernails if you couldn't get a guy to cut them. Not clear. Badi Ashulchan writes, if she discovers this thing the morning after, or for some reason she can't repeat the tefillah, it's okay. Especially because there's a svara also that it might have come afterwards. The Pnei Yeshua, the Marsham, or Machmir, even after Lansayim Baila. Obviously, again, Halach L'maisel Chatchila, we try to be Machmir about all these things. But Bedi Eved, as we noted, there might be room for leniency, as Rabbi Willig said, when it's a Shasat Chak, and there are no other possibilities. And in fact, Halach L'maisela is very surprised that the Shulchan Aruch is machmir like Pirsha Miktsasa, like the Tur. After all, who would you expect the Shulchan Aruch to paskin like the Tur? What about the Rambam, who's Mekel, Rabbi Yerucham is Mekel, the Ravid's Mekel, the Smag is Mekel, the Rashba's Mekel? And also, that's why he's Mekel, but he had that at least a Flansi Baila. That Lamaisa, Rav Rishonim, don't hold of this idea at all. On that particular point, Rabbi Willig was unwilling to be machriya. It's a tricky, tricky question. Yes?
Two things. So, first of all, in terms of asking if going to do it and it being awkward or, you know, untenable, how far do we have to go before we are...
I think if you could ask a guy to do it, you should. Let's say she absolutely refuses.
Like
I think, ideally, we would try to encourage her to get over her embarrassment, but if it's going to be too much, so then it's too much. I don't think, you know... If there's embarrassed, and there's embarrassed. You know, there are things we're embarrassed about that we do all the time anyway, and then there are things that, you know, mortify us. Mm-hmm. So there's obviously a big difference.
Okay, and then also, again, I don't know the Hilchos Shabbos or Hilchos Yom Tov aspect of it, but I think that there's some type of, I don't know if it's chapstick or like almost like a lip gloss or something that people... use on Shabbos and Yantik, it's almost like a liquid or something, so...
I've never heard of that, but I don't think it'll help.
Would that help here?
That would hurt.
Because then that would smooth over the skin, and then you wouldn't be...
That makes it worse. Now you have a chatzitza on your lips.
Well, if it's so smooth, then it's no mabosh, it's
good. I don't know. Okay. But that would anyway make... Even if you're right, that would be a chatzitza on the part that was originally partially removed. In other words, now would be a problem for the taz.
Right.
So I would think that doing that would make it much worse, much more problematic. In other words, you want it to be as exposed as possible, so it'll be okay for the taz. And at that point, the only possible chash is the idea that omid l'chatech is kechatoch dami. Okay. Fine. Okay, Sifchav Beis, we have Aver, Basel, Meduldo, are always chotzeitz. It's not like Tziporan, right? In terms of why, we already saw all the answers. The Beis Yosef answer one would say because it's omid likatzeitz and Tziporan, you're not makbid. Beis Yosef answer two is that here where the question is whether there's a chatzitz on top of it. According to the Taz, we're concerned is makom hasadek. The Ramah over here writes, Yabela, so yeser, are obviously not chotetz at all. Likewise, a decaying tooth that's scheduled to be pulled would not be chotetz. It's like a yabeles, plus it's probably still yonek anyway. So that would be okay. Okay, sif chaf gimel. Finally, we get to actually talk about rings, even though we've been talking about them the whole time. So the Tosefta says, tabos are not chotzeitz, if they're tight, but if they're loose, they are. So we've mentioned before the Rashba, the Ravid, the Rush, all ask, you're not machbid. And the answer, no, since you're sometimes machbid when you need, and likewise the case of Chutin, Veritzuo, Shibaroche, Abanos, we found the same thing. Rashi, and Sukkah, Vavav Beis might also hold of this, Rashi writes, in machbid alav, havile kegufe, ha'wil v'ein sofo litlo, uvatal gufe v'lochayetz. Sounds like he's saying that even though you're not machbid now, But if it's sofo litlo, in other words, you will be makbid at some future point, then it's already a chatzitza now, which sounds very much like the Ravid. Now, what about if she doesn't remove her ring when she needs? So then we already saw, sounds like from the Ravid, it's going to be okay. We saw the Avrami Tul, who objected to this. Why? Because it's Chashev. Rav Shechter also had the same Shaila, if you take a look. He was Mechavin to him. And we discussed it as well. We also discussed the Zichron Yosef, that even the Ravid wouldn't be Machmir, that if some time, in undefined time in the future, I'm going to be Machbid, that's a Chotetz. That's Chatzitza now. What's the pshat? So how did the Zichron Yosef said it? This was quoted in Pesach Tshuva Sifkan Aleph. Davka shemakpedes li'itim mizumanos. But im eina makpedes rak pam achas l'zman meruba, then it would not be a chatzitza. We thought that this might be a raya. We might bring a raya to this from the discussion we talked about last time from the Tzoveya, that we said that Yadav Tzvuos, or the Shochet, who has Mluchloch Bedam, so again, you know, comes Yantif, I assume, the Shochet cleans up. Still, it's not a Chatzitza now. That's, I thought, would be a good Raya. Is there any way to be Docha that Raya for the Zichron Yosef? That would be very important Raya, if we have Rishonim that are clearly assuming the Zichron Yosef. Davnei Miluim, sorry, Davnei Nezer, Yodea Rish Nun Gimel, has a different answer to that question. Yesh lomar she'ad oso zman ya'avor memela, k'moshkazar Rambam. Because chamimos habasar ma'averes haksav la'acha zman. So he thinks it's not a raya. In other words, you're never going to be makbid to remove this, because by the time the chasna comes, by the time yantif comes, it'll be gone on its own. Okay. Now, Rav Moshe, as we noted, very much like the Zichron Yosef, and he explained the lamdas going back to Chelek Aleph Siman Sadi Zayin, and he stresses, and this is the way we've been assuming is the Pshat and Zichron Yosef, it's not Be'atzim Talui in time, even though the Zichron Yosef used this Lashon of Zman Meruba, but rather the Pshat is De Kavanaso L'chalek Bein HaKpeda L'asir B'shas Lisha She'en L'ze Zman Katzov. When it comes to something that has no defined period of time when I'm going to be makbid, because I could need dough at any time, so then it would be a chatzitza. If you remember, Rav Moshe started discussing whether the achronim that talk about the ring under her cervix would agree to that or not agree to that. There's a very interesting Or Sameach on this, who has a different approach than Rav Moshe. We're not going to see it now, where it's too late, but it's very Bia Parak Dalad. Very, very interesting idea. Basically, if you're makbid occasionally, then it can't be batal to the guf. Whereas if you never take it off, it is batal to the guf. And that's the pshat in the Ravid. A different pshat, which would lead to a different conclusion. Actually, the truth is, from Rashi, Doesn't really sound like Rav Moshe either, because right Rashi says it there, it's not chotzeitz. Howel ve'ein sofo litlo sounds like it's only batel because ein sofo litlo. But if sofo litlo, even if it's far off, maybe it would be makbid. It wouldn't be batel. More like what the Or Sameach was saying, not muchach, but something to think about. Another thing we see, by the way, from that Rashi, is something that we've been taking for granted, but it's worth the spelling out, which is that Rashi stresses that chatzitzas taloi in makbid lehasiro. Are you going to take it off or not? We talked about this when we talked about the bandages and the like. It's not about, you know, are you happy about this as much as are you makbid lehasiro? You see a similar thing in the Rambam, Hilchos Mikvos, Perek Aleph, Halacha Yud Beis. The lo samo so alev bein avar bein lo avar eino chotetz v'afalpi shechofer ro es rubo. In other words, since you don't really care, we don't say it's extraneous to your guf, but really part of your guf. Now, this idea is a very important practical question to ask. Somebody goes to the mikvah, and then they say, oh no, I found this thing on my body. So your first question, assuming it's not rov, is going to be, are you makbid? Right? You have to go back to the mikvah or not, it's going to depend, are you makbid or not? So, how are we defining makbid? Are you makbid la'asiro? Great. For what? So some rabbanim will ask the following question. Would you take this off if you're going to a chasana? In other words, that's a very high level. When do people get the most dressed up ever? When they go to chasanas. So, Rabbanim that ask this, this is, by the way, what Rabbi Forst writes, you should ask, you know, would you be makbid to remove this if you went to a chasana? So that's very makbid, because again, if you're ever going to be makbid about something, it's going to be at a chasana. That's when you're really dressed up. Rav Moshe, this isn't in the tshuva, it's quoted in the Kuntras Horah, disagreed. He was much more lenient. He said, if you wouldn't want to be seen in public, then it's makbid. But if you don't mind being seen in public like this, if you were going to a wedding, you would epis clean it off, then it is, right? So this is relevant for all sorts of the shilas we've been talking about. Now, just one second. He brings a raya. No, I don't think he brings a raya, but l'chora, you could bring a raya, again, back from the case of the tzava that we said, right? The butcher. So when butchers go to weddings, they also are makbid to get off the blood, I imagine, right? And still, we say it's not a chatzitza for them. It's just a raya from Rav Moshe. Okay, he said maybe I could be dochel the raya. For example, in other words, how are we going to explain this from Rav Moshe? But what about if I am? I have a wedding in 3 weeks, and I'm going to take this off in 3 weeks. It should be a problem. The answer is that according to the Ravid, as understood by Rav Moshe and Zichron Yosef, it's not a problem. Okay, it's 2-3 weeks. I'm going to be makbid, but right now I'm not makbid. Right now I'm not going to a chasana. I don't have a chasana tonight. So why is everybody forced to machmir? Is it because he doesn't hold to the Zichron Yosef? Maybe. L'chatchila, we already noted that we try to be machmir, but even b'diavet, could be that Rabbi Forrest, the way he writes it, is he writes that you only have to be choshish for things that you're makbid about in everyday activities, like shopping and going to weddings. So, apparently, Rabbi Forrest is a rav, so going to weddings is an everyday activity. I'm not sure that's true for most people. Maybe if you're 23 or 25, but for most people, going to weddings is not a everyday activity. It's, you know, pretty rare occurrence. Sounds like he's fundamentally agreeing to Rav Moshe. He just is looking at weddings as regular everyday activities. Okay, so what's the halacha if she's never makbid, though? Like we said, this woman, she's got lots of servants. So she never needs dough. Right? That's the way the Taz puts it. Nowadays, most people don't need dough because they go to the bakery. So Lamaisa, she's never makpedes to remove her rig. Now, obviously, Lisha is not a, there's nothing be'etzem significant. That's just what was common in those days. If she never takes her ring off when she needs dough, or she doesn't need dough, but she takes her ring off when she showers, so that would be the same thing. That would even be worse, because then she's makpedes b'shas rechitza. Right? It's not like needing dough be'etzem is the important factor. But like, so let's say you have a woman, this is what the Taz discusses, who doesn't need dough, so lemaisa she's not makpedes, so will her ring be a chatitza? So on the one hand, you'll say, no, it shouldn't be a chatitza, lemaisa she's never makpedes. Or maybe we should say batla daita etzel kol adam, because most women, at least in the days of the Taz, did need dough, and therefore her lack of kpeda would be batla daita. So if you take a look at the Pischei Tshuva, Sif Katan Yud Dalid, he deals with this question. He quotes from the Gan HaMelech, De'isha she'ein darka lalosh be'atzma, ein ha'tabas she'al yada chotzeitz, afilu me'hadek tuva. Oh. So, what about Butler Daito? So, maybe you'll say it's like a category of people, like fancy women who don't need. Or maybe, like we discussed before, we don't combine these two chidushim. In other words, we don't combine the rivid with something that lemaisa, she's not makbid about it now. The only time we say batla daito etzel kol adam is if most people are makbid about it b'shas rechitza. She happens to be not makbid, so then we'll say batla daito. But if most people are not makbid about b'shas rechitza, they would be makbid if b'shas lisha, so then we don't say that. And we talked about the lumdus of that at the beginning. Now, after the Pischei Tshuva quotes that Gan HaMelech, he concludes afterwards, and we call makom, en lahakal, kevan de b'shulchan aruch kan, uvarachayim kasav stam de tabos mehudak chotzeitz, velo maflag midi, mashma she'en l'chalek b'zeh, velo dami l'mochri revav v'hatzovim, shekol oso umenes yadua. In other words, you have to be achmir. Why don't we put her in a category of people? What category? Category of people who don't need bread? That's not really a category. For the kula of the category to apply, we need a defined category, like painters or dyers or shochtim. There's no clearly defined categories like people who don't need. It's like we said before. Nobody's going to say, oh, I'm in the category of a shlup. So therefore, I'm not makbid about these things. It's not just me. All shlumps aren't makbid about this. Right? Okay, so then we just like did away with the whole thing, right? No, you need a defined category of people. Now, there's another issue that comes up here, which the Pischei Tshuva mentions. The Pischei Tshuva, the Shulchan Aruch says, though, of course, that if the ring is rafoi, what's the din? It's okay, right? What's the problem? However, the Pischei Tshuva says, no! Yesh lahachmir afilu b'di'evet. Whoa! What is that coming from? Why in the world would you have to be machmir, even b'di'evet? So, to understand this, you have to look at the Beis Yosef in Or Chaim, Simen Kuf Samech Aleph. Over there, the Beis Yosef writes, V'nira, da'afilu tabas refuya tzarch lahasir. This is talking about Hilchos Netilas Yadayim. Im yishom delo b'kiyim b'shir refyon. It's hard to know whether a ring is really rafoy or not. V'imishum delo leisu lahatir af mehudekah. Some type of gzera, made up gzera, it's not in Shas, where goes there, eino mehudek atu mehudek. L'maisa, the Beis Yosef, made this chiddush up. There's no makor for this. The Beis Yosef doesn't quote a makor. But he made up a chumra that you should not wash netilas yadayim with a loose ring on. That's what he writes in Beis Yosef. That's what he passes in Shulchan Aruch Chaim Kuf Samech Al Siv Gimel. Now, if you're machmir Hilchos Netilas Yadayim, Kavachomer, or you have to be machmir for Hilchos Tevila, where we're dealing with the Nisar Kares. Now, Moreover, if you learn like the Ramah Sif Aleph, also you have to be Machmir, because L'chore, as we said over there, the Ramah seems to be Machmir for Rafoi. However, it's very, and that's not clear, though, whether that would be true even B'diavet, right, as we talked about then. But that's basically, if you take a look at the Beis Hillel, that is quoted, the Pesachei Tshuva quotes it. If you look at the Beis Hillel, inside the Pesachei Tshuva quotes, it's easy to look up now, those that have the fancy schmancy Shulchan Aruch, like me. So anyway, the Beis Hillel writes, it doesn't make any sense that we should be machmir for Hilchos Netilas Yadayim and be mekel by Tvila. And therefore, the Beis Hillel paskin, she should need a Tvila Cheres Imlo Lansan Baila. That's a very big chiddush. Why? Because even in Or Chaim, he wasn't machmir bidi eved. He was only machmir lechatchila. And if you take a look, the Magen Avraham over there says the exact point on the opposite direction. He says, Al kochacha this chumra isn't bidi eved, v'haraya, the Beis Yosef didn't say it in Hilchos Tevilah. Right? So we see from Hilchos Tevilah, it's not machbid. So, whereas the Beis Hillel went to Or Chaim to be machmir in Yoredeya, the Magen Avraham went from Yoredeya to be mekel in Or Chaim. Obviously, again, lechatchila, you should be machmir. It's very hard to understand why you'd have to be machmir b'dieved if you know that it's rafoi. Again, if you want to say we're not bekiyim, you could say we're not bekiyim. But if you're confident it's rafoi, we'll define rafoi in 1 second, then l'chora it's hard to be machmir b'dieved. The Pesachei Tshuva also quotes from the Bach that you shouldn't say that like the Ramban and the Rambam are machmir and are gozer by achizas yad, as we'll talk about in a minute, atu mehudak, so too over here, because maybe that's just by achiza. Why? Very simple. Because when it comes to holding hands, and like especially the mikvah slipper, you don't want her to fall in. So then we're particularly concerned that you might accidentally hold on tight. You're not going to keep it loose. When it comes to a ring, you know, it doesn't have a mind of its own. So if you see that it's rafoi, so you don't have to worry that all of a sudden it started to be a mahadeg when it's in a mikvah. Though he says maybe you should be gozer for advarm refuyim shakasha lahasiva. So what does rafoi mean? So the Chachmas Adam writes, the intuitive answer, rafoi means, it looks like it's shayach bias mayim. In other words, you look at it. Does it look like the water could get under it? So then, it's rafoi. The Meiri writes, if, and this is a very big kula, if you can turn, twist the ring all around in a circle, then clearly it's rafoi. The Mari Brona was very machmir. He writes, rafoi means it easily falls off, doesn't easily fall off, then we're choshish, it's tight. Again, l'chatchila anyway, we're machmir for rafoi. This is going to be an akamina for 2 situations. Number one is b'diavad she was kfar tavla, or hilchos netilas yadayim, but there again, we're machmir l'chatchila. Or, and this is a very common question, what happens if she can't get the ring off, but it's still rafoi? Now you'll say, I don't understand. If you can't get it off, then it's not rafoi. The answer is it's very common. Because a lot of times, if this part of the finger swells, this happens during summer when it gets very hot for some women, it happens during pregnancy where it swells. Usually during pregnancy, you don't have to go to the mikvah. Sometimes you do. Or afterwards. It happens, if it's summer and pregnancy, then it's really, really an issue. And therefore, what do you do in that case where you can't get it out? So the Chassam Sofer, over here, it's on the Gilyon of the Shulchan Aruch, if you have the non-fancy Shulchan Aruchs, here's where sometimes you need the old-fashioned Shulchan Aruchs. So the Chassam Sofer writes that you need a jeweler to open it and loosen it, even if she doesn't take it off for kneading. In other words, she can't get her ring off, but she says, fine, but I never take my ring off. Haraya, can't get it off. Right? If I need challah, I'm going to use my ring. But he's still machmir. Big chumra. Probably it's alpi the Ramah Sif Aleph. And also the Shulchan Aruch and Kuf Samach Aleph. However, you could definitely argue that Lamaisa, she's not makpedes, right? Even if she'd go to a wedding, she wouldn't take off her ring. She won't take off her ring for anything. She can't take it off. She's not going to. Why do you need to get a jeweler? Well, maybe. Still, l'chatchila, we take off everything, as we've seen. And if you get a jeweler to take it off, then that's still l'chatchila. Now, there's a little difference when we're talking about jeweler. What do we mean? I'm not sure the Chassam Sofer means you have to get a jeweler to chop her ring off and ruin the ring. No. What he probably means is that jewelers are able to stretch the metal a little bit, and maybe they could get it off that way. Not necessarily by ruining the ring. If a ring would get ruined, I'm not sure the Chassam Sofer would have to be machmir, especially if it's rafoi. Especially if it's rafoi, and
according to my definition.
Whatever definition you think is correct. Now, lemaisa. Plus, we have that Gan HaMelech. As we saw before, the Pesach Tshuva, the Sidrei Tara, is not so certain to be makel, because lemaisa, the Shulchan Aruch says you have to take off all rings. But here it's different; it's bidiaved. So, not so clear. Not so clear. Lemaisa, we try to get it off. That's what we try to do. Use soap or whatever tricks you can to get the ring off before going to the mikvah. If you can't, I'm not sure you have to be machmir. And if she doesn't want to get her ring permanently stretched because she's hoping her rings are going to go back to normal size, and if the ring is stretched out, then it's not going to fit her anymore. It's not so obvious to me that, especially if it's rafoi, that you'd have to be makel. Now there's machmir. Now there's another etza that we could do that could really help. This is what Ray Willig recommends. First of all, he thinks if you rotate the ring, it's going to be okay, more like the Meiri. But is when she's in the mikvah, she goes ahead and she starts rotating her ring. So then for sure, water will get underneath it. And then there's even more room to be makel. If she can't get it off and she doesn't want her ring to either be ruined or permanently stretched. And I think that maybe it makes sense to be makel in that case where we don't see any other reasonable option. Yes?
That's assuming that it's in the finest rafoi.
Yeah, that could be rafoi, and again, it's a combination act factor. A, that itself might be rafoi on its own, but B, when you, in other words, rafoi means water will get onto it, underneath it automatically. And even if water wouldn't automatically get underneath it, once they start moving it around and twirling it around in the water, then for sure water will get underneath it. And just like the chiluk we're going to talk about next time, in terms of hand-holding. Okay, we'll stop here and pick up Ezra Hashem on Wednesday.